All right. So thank you guys so much for joining this. One of my name is Yogi Aaron. And if you don't know me, I'm the owner of this beautiful place called Blue Osa Yoga Retreat. I am the leader of the yoga teacher trainings. And at Blue Osa, we do 14-day and 28-day immersions, as well as 300 hours. And one of my passion topics for probably about the last 10 years, but especially the last 3 or 4 years, is in how to get rid of pain in the body and what is causing the body pain. And so I've been studying muscle activation therapy for the last umpteen years and starting to put it into a curriculum that we're calling Applied Yoga Anatomy and Muscle Activation. And my goal in giving this information is kind of threefold. The first and most important goal is to give people the opportunity or give people easy and simple tools in how to live a life without pain. And I see so many people coming into my yoga classes, every single yoga teacher training. Probably somewhere between 50 and 75% of people are dealing with what we sometimes call yoga injuries. I call them ego-related injuries, but potato, potato. And they come in, they have lower back problems, they have knee problems, they have common one is shoulder problems. And we think about one of the most common yoga postures is Chaturanga Dandasana. And so why is this happening? Why are people getting injured, especially in yoga? And one of the things that happens is when a muscle is experiencing overuse, has had trauma, and is not being used properly, there is an inflammatory response that starts to happen in the body. Inflammation is always happening. Anytime there's stress, there's always going to be inflammation. And anytime there's inflammation, especially between the muscles and the brain, it's going to cause problems in the messaging system. And I came up with this really good example the other day because I was thinking, I go take my car in every, 5,000 kilometers, I guess that's 3,000 miles, 5,000 kilometers, and I do a service. And the last time I went there, they called me up and they're like, "Mr. Aaron, you need to change your brakes." All of them. All of my brakes needed to be changed. And can you imagine what's happening if you're driving down the highway? I drive a lot here between Blue Osa and San Jose. And I'm going down a hill and I press my foot on the brakes and the brakes don't work. What happens? The car keeps going. It's obvious. And that's what's sort of happening in our body. There's a messaging system between the brain and the muscle that's not connecting properly. And so what we want to do is start to improve that messaging system. And so anytime a muscle experiences trauma, stress, overuse, dehydration is also on the list. That messaging system gets disrupted. It doesn't mean that your muscles are, by the way, are weak. You are a strong person. You're strong by virtue of the fact that you move around in life and do what you need to do. So I'm strong because I'm standing here. We all have strength. But the problem is sometimes when you're going to do an action, like say, for example, you're a weightlifter or you're doing a triathlon or something, or you're just simply going to the grocery store and buying your groceries, you bend over, you pick something up, and then all of a sudden something tweaks because the whole muscular system in the body isn't functioning well. One of the reasons why for me that this whole topic of knee pain is kind of a passion topic is because I love to exercise. I'm very physically active. And I also, most importantly, love to hike. And probably right around the age of 29, 30, 31, I remember going on a hike and my knees just gave out. For about the last 3 kilometers, I was walking really slowly like this because my knees were just inflamed. Well, why did that happen? If we look at it from a muscular standpoint, The reason why that started happening is because other muscles weren't working well. Other muscles weren't doing their job and doing the job that they're supposed to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of those muscles, but when those muscles aren't functioning well, other minor muscles or ligaments or joints start to take the brunt of it. So you think about when I'm hiking, you know, climbing up this mountain, coming down, especially when we're coming down, what do most people always complain about? Going down in a hike is always harder than going up. Well, why is that? Because when you're going down, you're pushing, you're letting your foot drop down, and then you're letting your other foot drop down. Well, if the muscular system, more importantly, the support system or the shock absorbing system in the body isn't working, then the knees end up taking all the brunt. You don't have to worry about skipping out on hikes or skipping out on activities because you're going to hurt your knees. Start to ask the question, well, how can I get my support system, my muscular support system, working more optimally? And by the way, this goes for anybody, whether you're an athlete or just someone, you know, going through life, or a parent who wants to play with your kids. Always think about, how can I get my muscular system working better so that it can handle the stress, the tolerance level that can deal with the stresses from life. These muscles in your body are going to turn off. They're going to react to stress that's happening. And the weaker the muscle is, or more specifically, the more inhibited that messaging system is between the muscle and the brain, the less likely that muscle is going to respond when you need it to respond. So we need to increase the tolerance level of these muscles so that they can respond to the stress of life when you want them to respond. One of those muscles that I want to talk about, and there's a few, by the way, here that are really important to address, and one of them is the glutes. And today we're not going to get so much into the glutes, but the glutes are known to be the shock absorbers of the body. If the glutes aren't working, the shock absorbers aren't going to function. And as I was just saying earlier, the knees are going to take the brunt of whatever it is that you're doing. So you need to get the glutes working. You need to get the glutes firing up. Incidentally, what is one of the number one things that causes the glutes to shut down? It's something I'm doing right now. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting. Sitting starts to turn off the glutes. If you sit for about 30 minutes, the glutes will shut down. In fact, the whole pelvic floor starts to shut down. So we need to keep the glutes activated. We need to keep the glutes strong. So, as I said, that's a topic for another day about the glutes specifically, but just put a pin in that and come back to it. We'll come back to it at another time. So the glutes are really important. What else is really important? There's another muscle that is known as a hip flexor. What is a hip flexor? So we have two motions. We actually have a few others, but for the purpose of today, we have hip flexion. So hip flexion is when we bring the femur bone up towards our torso. We have hip extension is when we move the femur bone or the leg bone away. Okay? So hip flexion is when we start to bring the leg up. We have some hip flexors that are really important for knee stability. It is worthwhile mentioning that all of the hip flexors in some way, shape, or form have an influence on the knee. One of those major hip flexors is one called the psoas major. And the psoas major is the only muscle that attaches to the front of the lumbar spine. This is the lumbar spine here. And it attaches here and then connects down into our leg bone. Now, you think about what we're doing here is we're lifting this leg up. If we lift this leg up, the big muscle that's working right now is the psoas. And so coming back to hiking, I love the example of hiking because that's where I use my body the most, is when I'm hiking, if my psoas isn't working, isn't controlling this movement, and more importantly, isn't controlling the braking system as I am coming down the mountain, as I'm placing my foot forward, if that muscle, this huge muscle, isn't working correctly, other little muscles start to take over and become stressed out and then become inflamed and start to cause pain. Ergo, the pain in your knees. So we want to make sure that the psoas is working. But there's also another muscle that we want to get working, and that's called the rectus femoris. Everybody just say that. Don't unmute yourself. Just say it. Rectus femoris. Isn't that a fun word to say, rectus femoris? So rectus femoris is a really cool muscle. It's one of the four quadriceps and that make up the quads. And one of the functions of the rectus femoris, besides stability and many other actions, is leg extension. So it's a hip flexor, so it lifts the femur bone up, but it also extends the knee. Okay, so this is the knee flexing, and that's the knee extending. What do you think is going to happen with the knee if the rectus femoris isn't functioning well? Again, probably going to have some issues. So whenever I go hiking, one of the big muscles that I always make sure that's activated and strong is my rectus femoris. Where is it attached to? So the rectus femoris, and I'll show you here, and then I'll show you on Skelly. The rectus femoris attaches to the spine of the iliac and the superior part of the acetabulum. It's actually more like right here. So it attaches to this part. And if you can find the top of your iliac crest right here, this bone, if you can find that part and then kind of come down a little bit, you can find the rectus femoris. Now, how do you know if you're on it? Here's a fun little trick. Lift your leg up and you'll feel the muscle starting to contract. That muscle is one of the muscles that's responsible for lifting your leg up, or ergo hip flexion. So if you lift that leg up, you can actually start to feel that muscle contracting. Now, this is really interesting. The rectus femoris, as I said, attaches to the spine of the iliac. And I'll just show you now on Skelly. So on Skelly, the rectus femoris attaches to the spine of the iliac crest here, and then comes down, and it actually comes all the way over the femur bone. It actually wraps over all of the other three quadriceps, the vastus medialis, intermedius, and lateralis. So it comes down here, and the interesting thing is about the rectus femoris is it attaches right at the tip of the patella, but then actually comes over the patella into the tibial tubercle. So it comes down over into the tibial, the tibia. Isn't that kind of cool? You have a muscle that attaches at the iliac and then all the way down to the lower part of your leg. Do you guys think that this muscle is important? Yeah, I dare say it is important. So you really want to make sure that this muscle is functioning well. Now, if you do squats, squats can help to strengthen it. And there's definitely other things that you can do to strengthen it. But more specifically, for the purpose of muscle activation, what we want to do is start to connect our brain to the muscle, especially if we're going to engage in certain activities that require us to use our bodies in a dynamic way. So thinking about this muscle, when we lift the leg up, remember that the muscle, the rectus femoris, actually attaches to the tibia. So if it's attaching to the tibia and it inserts at that place, and the origin is up here, the insertion always shortens towards the origin. So all we need to do is find a way Skelly just broke. What we need to do is find a way to shorten this muscle. And we need to do it in a very precise and concise manner and do it for a certain amount of time to get that muscle actually activated and working. Again, we're not saying that the muscle is weak in terms of the muscle isn't like strong. What we're saying is that the muscle is not activated. We want to activate the muscle. We want to get the brain connected to the muscle so that the muscle can contract and contract on demand and do the job it's supposed to do. So there's a couple of ways that you can do this exercise and contract this muscle and get this muscle firing up well. One of those ways, and I'm going to show you two options, and both of the options are very similar to each other. One is sitting on a chair and one is standing. But what you can do is simply just standing at a chair, and I'm using the chair right now to kind of hold myself or to prop myself. And I want to keep my hips as balanced as possible. I don't want to be moving the hips around when I do this. I want to keep the hips as stable as possible. That's why using the chair might also be, or sitting on a chair might also be a better idea. And I'll do that in a second. But what you can do is you can just stand up and then just simply keep the leg straight and lift the leg up. Now, this only works if you're standing completely erect. If you're kind of doing this and leaning back, it has a very different note to it. So you've got to stand up really well. And again, this is a simple and easy hack in how to start removing knee pain, okay? One of this hack is going to directly affect the rectus femoris. So this hack directly affects the rectus femoris, okay? So you want to make sure that you're standing really tall and really well. You just simply lift your leg up. Now, if you want to, find the top of your iliac crest, run your finger down a little bit to the spine of the iliac, and just have, and if you don't know where it is, that's completely fine. But if you can find the top of the iliac crest again and just run your finger down a little bit and then just lift your leg up and you can probably start to feel that muscle contracting, okay? And then lower the leg down. What's really important when you're doing any kind of muscle activation technique is that you approach it in a very calm and relaxed way, okay? So you can't be like doing this and, you know, hold yourself really tight and I'm going to do this. It's got to be done from a place that's really relaxed. We're starting to tap into the parasympathetic nervous system. We're healing the nervous system from a relaxed place, not from an aggressive state. So the other way that you can do this is by sitting on a chair. Come to the edge of the chair, and this probably will have a little less of a subtle impact, but sometimes more subtle is more profound. So always keep that in mind. But just straighten your leg. Again, I'm sitting up really straight, and then just lift the leg a little bit off the chair. And very quickly, you're going to feel this in your quads. You're going to feel this in your rectus femoris, and then slowly lower it down. The magic number in any muscle activation technique is always 6 seconds, 6 times. So we always want to perform something 6 seconds and do it 6 times. So we're going to do it a few more times. So lift, if you want to do this with me, lift the leg up. You don't have to lift it that high. I've been doing this a long time, so I can lift my leg up a little higher than other people sometimes can, and then come back up. And I'm always counting in my head, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, et cetera, et cetera. Slowly lower down, sitting up straight, and do it again. And then come on down. Again, if you want to feel this muscle working, just you can even just put your hand on top of your thigh or bring your hand to the origin, again, the spine of the iliac, and lift your leg up. And as you lift the leg up, you can feel the muscle shortening to that point. So this is the origin of the muscle. You can feel the muscle shortening to that point. It's really kind of cool, actually. Now, it's kind of interesting to also note that in yoga practice, we often talk about tight muscles. And one of those muscles that's often tight is the hamstrings. You always hear people saying, I gotta loosen up my hamstrings. I need to get my hamstrings a lot looser. In muscle activation therapy, we actually say that muscle tightness is a sign of muscle weakness. So if you have tight muscles, there's usually a muscle that's not working well, and that's resulting in tight muscles. So in the hamstrings, with the hamstrings, the opposite muscle is actually the rectus femoris. If the rectus femoris is working well, the hamstrings, the antagonist muscles, are going to relax. The antagonists are going to let go. So we need to get the rectus femoris muscles working well so that their antagonist muscles, the hamstrings, actually start to relax. So if you want to, you can kind of do a little experiment. We did one leg. We're going to do the other leg. Before we do the other leg, just kind of come and stand up for a moment. It's just a little experiment. I love experiments. And bring your hands to your hips. Bring your other foot, the foot that you didn't do or the leg that you didn't do. Bring that leg forward, the other leg back. So this is a little variation on pyramid pose, Parsvottanasana. Have the leg there and then just come forward. And you can just kind of see how far you can go. You can kind of get a sense of, you know, where that tightness begins. And then come on back up. Very good. Okay. So we're going to come down the other way and straighten that leg out and then lift the leg up. So this is the leg that you just folded forward on. So what we're going to do now is just see what happens and then let the leg come down. Again, if you want to bring your fingers to the spine of the iliac and then lift the leg up, and you can feel the muscle shortening as you bring your leg up. It's kind of cool to start feeling muscles doing their job. And then lower the leg down and then lift the leg up. And lower the leg down and lift the leg up. And lower the leg down. Again, sitting up as straight as you can with an erect spine. Lift the leg up. And lower the leg down. And lift the leg up. And lower the leg down. We'll do it one more time. So really sitting with an erect and extended spine, lift the leg up. And lower the leg down. Good. So what I'd like to invite you to do is just do a little experiment again and fold over that leg. So we did that Parsvottanasana variation. Just let your hands come to your hips. Lift the chest and the heart. And then start to come forward. And I got about 20 to 30 degrees difference. It always never ceases to amaze me how much my range of motion improves when my muscles are functioning well. We need to kind of step away from this mentality of, I need to increase my range of motion through stretching. We need to increase our range of motion through stressing out these muscles. And instead look at, if I don't have the range of motion that I'm looking for, what muscles are not contracting properly? What muscles are not doing their job well? And it kind of will give you more information on where you really need to get to work. And it'll also give you some information, perhaps, on why what muscles that are not working may be causing you pain in your body. What muscles are not supporting your body well, okay? So that wraps up this lesson, this short lesson, on a quick hack and how to get rid of knee pain.